Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
To dive into on this edition of NFL Live, we have the recap of the Brady Manning rivalry renewing on the golf course in the match. Champions for charity. Plus, we continue our off-season grades of every team in the league. Today, we are diving into the always eventful NFC East and who put themselves in the best position to take that division in 2020. And today, we start counting down the top five games of 2019, a battle of MVPs. Lamar versus Mahomes, which one of them has the best shot at getting the MVP title this upcoming season? All that and more coming up on NFL Live. We begin this Memorial Day show by remembering all those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our country. One day could never be enough to honor their collective legacies. On today's show, we have Jeff Darlington, plus our duo, former players Swagoo, Marcus Spears, and Tim Hasselbeck. I am Field Yates. As professional sports leagues around the world are making plans to resume, one of the biggest questions surrounds the presence of fans in stadiums. The NFL's executive vice president of football operations, Troy Vincent, was on the Brian Mitchell Show on the Team 980 in Washington, D.C., and addressed the issue.
We are planning to have full stadiums until the medical community tells us otherwise. Now, remember when we're talking. Now, we're talking August, September. So there's a lot that can happen here. So we're planning for full stadiums. We also know that we have to plan for half stadiums, three quarters. So we're planning for all of these different scenarios. But first and foremost, we're making every effort, working with the medical community. If we can have those stadiums with all people, until they tell us otherwise, when that time comes, that's our plan. That's our plan of action.
Several states have plans to allow pro sports to reopen. Florida and Arizona have already stated they are allowing major sports to resume in the state. California Governor Gavin Newsom said his state could have sports in the first week of June. And now New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has said teams can hold training camps. Here's Cuomo on his decision to open sports.
Starting today, all the New York professional sports leagues will be able to begin training camps. I believe that sports that can come back without having people in the stadium, without having people in the arena, do it. Do it. Work out the economics if you can. We want you up. We want people to be able to watch sports to the extent people are still staying home. It gives people something to do. It's a return to normalcy. So we are working and encouraging all sports teams to start their training camps as soon as possible, and we'll work with them to make sure that can happen.
A reminder that in New York, only the Buffalo Bills actually hold their training camp and play their home games, as both the Jets and Giants are technically homed in New Jersey. Also a reminder that on Thursday, the NFL owners will gather to discuss a variety of meetings on a league-wide call. You can expect that the continued plans to reopen team facilities and expand those facilities will be discussed. And now from potential plans on the field to actual plans that we saw yesterday on the golf course. All right, Jeff, what stood out to you about this great, fun, enjoyable Sunday match?
Well, I can tell you right now that I've played the Medalist before. That is a difficult course. So I realize that we're all over Tom Brady about his golf game. First of all, I can't imagine doing it on national television. Second of all, that ain't some uni down the street, okay? This is a tough course, so he's actually a really good player. And that shot that he made, that's like, I mean, I've been playing golf my whole life. I've never made a shot like that. To do that in that moment, I don't know what it is about Tom Brady, not to continue to just keep praise on the guy, but that's a ridiculous thing to do in that moment. So as all the other shots aside, I actually call it a pretty impressive day from a guy who was playing under some pretty decent pressure.
Well, I think it's pretty impressive humble brag by Darlington to talk about playing medalists. Let me start there first and then say I don't think Tom Brady needs Darlington to apologize for that. He's actually a better golfer than
apparently I do.
But my takeaway is this. Tom Brady lost. Like, he literally was tracking to shoot like over 110. But all we are going to remember is that he basically holes out, you know, on seven and with a shot that people just dream about having. And so as years go on, all we're going to see from that round is that one shot. We're not going to see the shanks. We're not going to see the duff chips, none of that. And so Tom Brady wins even when he loses.
All right, Marcus, and Tim's right. When you're the football GOAT, we focus on the very best. But speaking of being a GOAT, who is more deserving of being called the GOAT in Sunday's foursome? Because there was a lot of athletic horsepower there. Tom Brady or Tiger Woods?
Phil, stop it. You know damn well it's Tiger Woods. Ooh. That's considered the GOAT in his prospective sport. But overall, look, I lean towards the individuals when we start talking about greatest of all time. Because we all can sit here and talk about how your teammates, when you're playing team sports, can lift you above some of your bad moments. And that's what it is. Look, for all intents and purposes, we talk about Tom Brady, how phenomenal he was in the comeback against the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl. It took a defense creating some turnovers, and it took Shanahan being on the other sideline and not running the damn ball in order for him to have an opportunity to get on the field and actually make those plays, not to take anything away. But it was Tiger. And look, I know this is a football show, and we talk about the NFL. You know why I was excited more than anything? Because Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods were playing the sport that they've been better than at people for a tremendous amount of time. That's what was exciting. Yeah, it's fun to see Tom and Peyton play. But quarterbacks, Tim can speak to this, quarterbacks play golf during training camps when some of us are in cold tubs. And some of us are trying to figure out how we're going to make it to the second practice of that day while they on the golf course taking their little nice break.
That's true.
Yeah, well, there certainly was.
Listen, Marcus is right about that. That's why the expectation that the quarterbacks are going to play well is there, which is why it's even more remarkable that Brady plays so poorly. But yeah, we're just remembering the great shot. It's just, that's how it works.
Well, when you're the GOAT, again, as I was saying earlier, we remember just the very best of what you bring to the table. The entertainment on Sunday was endless, including the commentary from Justin Thomas on the course. But the best part of Sunday's showdown, the event raised $20 million. That's right, $20 million to put towards COVID-19 relief efforts. Even more talk about great quarterbacks ahead. Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are facing off on Monday Night Football this season. In a Week 3 rematch from last year, we have the flashback highlight coming up. And what's the latest on Dak Prescott's new deal with the Cowboys? Will we be seeing a holdout this offseason, or will Jerry roll out the Brink trucks or his franchise quarterback?
Go, Jerry, on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere.
We've been in the gym. Yeah, we've been in the gym. Focused on the win. What you say, boy? Come again. I like we ain't popping. Hey, who gon' stop us now?
Throwback Thursday returns this week with the classic 2013 College Football National Championship game between Ohio State and Miami. Make that 2003, when a controversial pass interference call in overtime changed history. Thursday at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific on ESPN and the ESPN app. For the second time in three seasons, the Eagles took home the NFC East title with a 9-7 record, just edging out the Cowboys, who finished at 8-8. But even with the division title, the Eagles made some big moves this offseason, trading for all-pro corner Darius Slay and also adding wide receiver Marquise Goodwin. They did lose Malcolm Jenkins, who played every defensive snap for them the last two seasons, but they signed Will Parks and Nickel Robey Coleman in free agency to supplement that secondary. And in the draft, they added to their receiver group, taking Jalen Reagor out of TCU in the first round. Time now to go to our former Eagle, both Philadelphia and, most importantly, Boston College, Tim Hasselbeck. What's your offseason grade for Philly?
You know, Phil, you run down some of the key losses. I think the Malcolm Jenkins one is significant, but then you do look at some of the additions. Javon Hargrave makes that D-line really nasty. Talk about the upgrades at receiver. I'm giving them a B+. because I think they've done a good job when you look at how they handled free agency. And then the draft. Seems like there's been so much emphasis on the Jalen Hurts, you know, drafting. But, look, I think when you look at the possibilities for Hurts, and if you don't see him as just a quarterback, and even if he can't become Taysom Hill, but maybe some version of Taysom Hill, I like what they've done quite a bit. I think they've improved around Carson Wentz, which is what they needed to do. And so B+, I feel like it's a pretty good grade. I feel like it's been a pretty good offseason for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, Tim, I give them the exact same grade, and I do so actually because of that Darius Slay trade. I mean, look, Slay was arguably top three cornerback in the league last year. I mean, he was tremendous, and I think he was largely overshadowed just because of where he was playing and the situation that he was in. But, frankly, I'm kind of glad to see him force his way out, essentially, from Detroit and get to a place like Philadelphia. I think that's a huge upgrade. Now, to your point, they did lose some things on defense, and it's going to be hard to replace them. I just think for a secondary that struggled so badly last year, that this is a really good upgrade for a team that now suddenly feels like they're right back in the hunt.
You know, they call him Big Play Slay for a reason. And after finishing 8-8 last season, the Cowboys upgraded their defense by signing HaHa Clinton Dix and Gerald McCoy, along with a flyer on pass rusher Alden Smith, who last played in 2015. But they lost a key piece of their offensive line as Pro Bowl center Travis Frederick retired surprisingly after 7 seasons in the NFL. In the draft, Dallas nabbed wide receiver CeeDee Lamb at 17th overall, adding to an already stacked receiver room. All right, Marcus, it's your home squad. How about the offseason grade for the Cowboys?
I give them an A. And listen, it's obviously this Dak Prescott contract situation has played out, and it's a saga. I love the fact that Gerald McCoy has been signed to this football team. The Dallas Cowboys has needed an inside presence as far as D-tackle goes, and they got a little bit of that from Tyrone Crawford. But to bring in a vet like Gerald McCoy, who I still think has some good football, Poe, and then if Alden Smith, listen, I don't know if people remember, and I'm not sure, and we're very cautious about talking about this, but if Alden Smith returns to what Alden Smith was doing before he was out of the league, there's an argument that Alden Smith would have been in Hall of Fame conversation at this point, barring he hadn't had the offseason problems and struggles that he had. So if he can come back and be some semblance of what he was before all of that stuff transpired. And then, too, listen, as controversial as it was and as much as it raised my eyebrows about everything that took place, signing Andy Dalton is a plus. Who right now, as it stands, Dallas has the best backup plan at quarterback, barring that Dak Prescott deal doesn't get done, or Dak Prescott signs a deal and suffers an injury. They can bring in a guy that has started 9 years in the NFL and play some high-level football. So as far as the offseason goes, when you talk about moves around the Dak Prescott, because I think that's an isolated thing in itself, the Dak Prescott contract, Dallas has done a tremendous job adding talent, getting players that can make an impact, and then not to mention the draft when you get CeeDee Lamb to go along with Gallup and Amari Cooper.
Well, you mentioned it. It's a separate conversation about the Dak Prescott negotiations. We're going to put you right back to work. How would you grade how Dallas has handled Dak and the search, the quest, whatever you want to call the journey for a long-term contract?
I would give it an F, but I'm going to go D because they have at least extended the tender to give him $30 million to play under one season. With that being said, I think the most important thing here, guys, and everybody has talked about Dak Prescott is going to get a deal done. This is an impasse that they'll get over by the deadline time. The point is, what type of mentality, how has this approach from not only the Dallas Cowboys, but Dak Prescott tainted the relationship? And oh, by the way, let's not forget, in one of those good offseason moves, you also brought in Mike McCarthy, a new head coach, which we talked about Jason Garrett being some of the problem of why Dallas couldn't win games. So for all intents and purposes, we think McCarthy will be a significant upgrade. Now you're working on a limited season, offseason, and you're working on limited time that your perceived franchise quarterback has to work with a brand new head coach. So this situation has a lot of layers. I give it a D because you don't have who you said your franchise quarterback is in the building to go along with working with a new head coach who may want to change some things up. So that's where I am on that whole situation. It can go from a D to an A very quickly, though, if they get this deal done.
Michael, that is so kind of you. That is so kind of you to give them a D from an F. I mean, what a generous... You sound like the generally whiny sports reporters like myself out there, not like the former athlete who knows as soon as they get this monster deal done, everybody hugs, kumbaya, nothing was ever wrong. He hasn't missed a thing yet. It's going to be okay. July 15th deadline, they get this deal done, and Swaggle all of a sudden is happy just like Dak and the Cowboys. I don't get it. What's with the drama, Swaggle? You sound like a sports reporter, not like a former athlete.
Jeff, let me ask you a question. For as long as you've been covering this league, when the last time you saw a 9-year starter get signed as a backup?
Man, what do you mean? Didn't they do that just the other a couple years ago with Mark Sanchez? It's a thing. What are you talking about?
You haven't all the time. Ever say Mark Sanchez. What? And you don't just finish.
What are we talking about here?
I'm going to leave that alone. I'm not gonna bust the gasket on NFL Live. Dak Prescott has been in a contract negotiation with the Dallas Cowboys, and they went and signed a 9-year starter that is nowhere near the end of his prime, and there is no question if Andy Dalton can start and play and win in this league.
You just said it was a good move. It's a smart move.
Jeff,
hey,
because it's...
Man, Swaggle, I didn't know you were so dramatic. Gosh.
No.
Wait, listen, I was going to say, I like the way that Marcus is weighting his grading here. I like this. Like the fact that they're a D right now, which means the final exam is going to count for like 90% of your grade. So everything that you've done up until this point really doesn't matter. You didn't have to turn your homework in, nothing. That didn't matter. As long as you get the deal done, boom, you can shoot that up to an A. So I don't know why he's arguing for Andy Dalton when he's saying if you go ahead and get this deal done with Dak Prescott, then you're a total A this entire offseason, which, by the way,
Phil,
I would agree with. Not only has Dak Prescott been amazing, but like as a player and been dependable and been the most underpaid player in all of professional sports, he's been exemplary when you talk about leadership and everything you want the face of your franchise to be.
Yep.
Well, on behalf of both...
Jeff out here tripping.
Come on. Because of... on behalf of both segment and show producers everywhere, I am thanking Dak Prescott because the contract gives us something to talk about all offseason. It has been glorious. All right, two down and two to go. We have the final two grades of the NFC East offseason. Did the Giants and Redskins better their teams this offseason? Our experts will let you know. Plus, we are counting down the top five games from 2019 all week. We're kicking it off with number five when we come back, and you won't want to miss the flashback of these MVPs squaring off.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
When you do things like win the Super Bowl and league MVP awards, you get gigs like giving commencement speeches. Here's Patrick Mahomes giving a virtual commencement address to his alma mater, Texas Tech, over the weekend.
Remember, this is still a day to celebrate, to look back on your friends you've made, the professors who have changed your life, and the memories that you will cherish forever. Whatever plans lie in front of you, I have no doubt you will go out there and show the world what it means to come from Lubbock, Texas. Go out and win your Super Bowl. Congrats, class of 2020. I can't wait to see what you do next.
Well said, and who better to give a commencement address and kick off our week-long series of the top games of 2019 than Patrick Mahomes. This week, we'll look back at the top five games in a battle of league MVPs gets us going. Week 3, Chiefs 33, Ravens 28, the two most recent MVPs faced off in a thriller where Lamar led a fourth-quarter comeback that came up just short. The NFL Competition Committee needs to institute a rule where Mahomes and Jackson face off every year of their career. Jeff Darlington, you were actually at that game, that Ravens-Chiefs classic that we just watched back in September. What stood out from you in reporting on that game?
Well, Field, it's interesting because if you remember, Lamar Jackson had the struggles against the Chargers in the postseason the year before. It felt like he'd been exposed a little bit. Came into the season and had two really good weeks against the Dolphins and the Cardinals, but at the same time, it was like, Dolphins and Cardinals, whatever. Setting up that game, and I remember afterward talking to Travis Kelce about that game. And we were talking about Lamar Jackson and just how incredible he was. And something that Travis said to me really stuck with me. We actually have it right here.
I mean, yeah, Lamar's a hell of a player. They got a few good ones over there with Mark Ingram, Mark Andrews. That's a special team. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him later on in the season.
Yeah, it feels like a budding rivalry. Thank you very much, Travis.
You know, have a good one, guys.
He was certainly ahead of the curve.
We continued that conversation in the locker room afterwards, and Travis, to hear someone on offense talk about another offense is pretty rare. You don't really catch that a lot in games. I've never been in a locker room after a game where everybody in there was buzzing about the other team's quarterback that had lost. And I remember actually going into the Ravens locker room, and Lamar Jackson was down, man. He was bummed. And I remember saying to Lamar, like, man, you don't understand. In that locker room, they are talking about you with more respect than I've ever heard anybody talk about another opponent. And he even, like, lit up, like, really? And it was like this sweet moment with Lamar that I sensed these two teams will have an incredible rivalry, not even like a hated one, but just this tremendous respect for each other that, to your point, I hope they play every year because you can feel the respect between these two teams.
Maybe one day they'll play in a Sunday golf match about 15 years from now down the road. As far as Patrick Mahomes and his contract situation goes, Jeff, what impact is the Dak Prescott standstill with Dallas having, if any, on Mahomes?
I would say zero. It's interesting. I've talked to some people around the league about Mahomes' contract, and everybody sort of says the same thing. And this isn't necessarily won't impact the negotiations. These are people on the peripheral, but they're all basically saying
no market.
What Mahomes is doing is separate from everything else. He's just resetting the market on his own, but not so much for other quarterbacks, just for historic purposes. So I don't think that this is a situation where, like last year, you saw Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers sort of. Ryan needed to sign his contract before Rodgers could. That thing, that's not going to be the case here. Teams or players don't need to wait for Mahomes. He's on a whole different playing field with this contract, and I think that gets done completely separate than anything else.
Patrick Mahomes is going to make a lot of money. That's my expert analysis on this. Back to yes. Lamar Jackson. When balancing stones, the mind becomes focused. No team was more balanced last season than the NFL MVP Lamar Jackson and the Ravens offense. They averaged over 200 yards per game, both rushing and passing. The first team in NFL history to accomplish that feat. Tim, how sustainable is this Ravens offense with Lamar Jackson, and how far could it potentially carry them?
Well, listen, it's sustainable for an entire season. We saw it, and so I hope this doesn't come across the wrong way and appear to be a slight on Lamar Jackson, because it is in no way that. But the reality is they have to change. That balance has got to change some. Lamar Jackson had 176 carries. To put that in perspective, that's more than Alvin Kamara had, more than Melvin Gordon had, more than James Conner had, more than Kenyon Drake had. Those are starting running backs. That's carrying the football too much. And then you just look at it from a hits perspective in terms of carries and sacks. You know, Josh Allen, you know, who takes too many hits, runs the ball too much. Lamar basically had 50 more opportunities to be hit than Josh Allen. He had over 60 more than Deshaun Watson, another guy that gets hit way too much. So I just think when you look at it that way, in terms of, you know, Phil, being to that point where 15 years from now we're seeing a golf match between these two players, it's got to be something that happens over time. Greatness over a long period of time, not just one season. And I think they need to be really careful to continue to run him as much as they ran him a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with Tim. Listen, this league is really about how you develop, you continue to develop mentally and physically. And one of those parts about mental is, can you do your job at an elite level without expending as much energy as the guys around you? That's what the great quarterbacks can do. It becomes cerebral and it becomes a part of their game that no one can account for. And in Lamar Jackson's case right now, no one can account for his quickness, his ability to make guys miss and run the football. But we know, all know in this league, you're going to get caught at some point. I don't care what kind of athlete you are. At some point, there will be a hit to the knee, or there will be a hit somewhere that will change your athletic ability if it doesn't take you out for a season. I'm sure Lamar is smart enough to do that, because as we saw last year, Lamar developed as a passer from the previous year. He knows that that trend has to continue. But I'm with Tim. You cannot continue throughout the rest of his career to play this way. But I also believe that Lamar Jackson has the ability to develop into one of those guys. And I think he's smart enough to understand that as his career goes forward.
Well, can't wait to see him in year three, just his second full season as a starter. When the Chiefs and Ravens match up week three on Monday Night Football, it will be the third Monday Night Football matchup between the reigning Super Bowl champion and the reigning MVP. And according to Elias, it will also be the first matchup in NFL history between former MVPs who are 25 or younger. Patrick Mahomes will be 25, while Lamar, amazingly, just 23. More to come on NFL Live. We are drawing conclusions. We'll put a bow on some discussions from the show today. And will Dak get paid? Is Mahomes going to be a $200 million man? And who will come out on top on the NFC East? Plus, when we come back, Daniel Jones showed some promise for the G-Men in his rookie year. But did that do enough to help him make a jump in year two? We have the Giants offseason report card next. Back to grading the NFC East offseasons. After allowing the second most points in franchise history, the Giants added linebacker Blake Martinez and quarterback James Bradbury. But Eli Manning, after 16 seasons and two Super Bowl titles, decided to retire. In the draft, New York made sure to protect Daniel Jones by taking tackle Andrew Thomas fourth overall. So, Jeff, we hand it over to you. How would you assess the Giants offseason?
All right, we'll start with a B-minus, and let me explain. You mentioned his name right there, Andrew Thomas. I think that's a tremendous pick for the Giants at fourth overall. But what else they did along the offensive line? Look, I know that they didn't make any crazy moves this offseason, so that grade might feel a little bit good. But I think that sometimes you don't necessarily need to get a good grade just by making a bunch of crazy moves. So they improved their line. They also had Deion Lewis at running back to help Saquon Barkley out a little bit should he get hurt. So in general, and also, by the way, they improved a lot on defense aside perhaps from edge rusher. I just think that the Giants did enough to improve enough this season to maybe show that they're headed in the right direction. And let's be honest, it's all going to be about Daniel and what his increase in talent is this year, and whether that saves Gettleman and Shurmur at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think when you look at the situation, you know, for the Giants, it just doesn't seem like they really have put enough talent around Daniel Jones to make you feel like they're on par with the other teams in the division. When you look at the Philadelphia Eagles or you look at the Dallas Cowboys, look at the wide receiver position. Just take that as the example.
Yeah, I don't think
they've surrounded Daniel Jones with that much help. And so you just look at, you know, Golden Tate will be 32 by the time the season starts. I don't think there's enough help there for Daniel Jones. So, look, have they gotten better? Yeah, maybe a little bit because they were so bad last year. I would agree with some of the additions on defense. But I think the Giants still have a ways to go. And I think that addressing receiver, at least at some point, would have been something that I would have liked to see them do.
All right, well, after finishing the season 3-13, the Redskins hired the venerable Ron Rivera while adding cornerbacks Kendall Fuller and Ronald Darby to replace the cut Josh Norman. In the draft, Washington took Chase Young second overall and became the first team in the common draft era to pick a defensive lineman in the first round in four straight years. Tim, how would you grade the Redskins offseason so far?
I'm giving them a B, and I don't think you can give them anything lower than that, you know, when they draft Chase Young. I mean, pretty much everyone believes that Chase Young is going to come in and be an absolute difference maker. And we know, like, outside of quarterback, you start looking at most important positions out there, somebody that can apply pressure on the quarterback is about as important as any other spot. And so, you know, Kendall Fuller coming back, You know, I do think with some of the losses along that offensive line, they have reinvested in that position that I do think helps the quarterback. And, you know, I just think the biggest problem for the Washington Redskins this offseason is just not the ability to have your hands on Dwayne Haskins, have him in your building, have the opportunity to kind of coach him up. But I think it's been okay with all the changes they've had there in Washington.
Yeah, I'm with you, Tim. And to that point of not being able to be hands-on with Dwayne Haskins, obviously the move in the offseason to bring in Kyle Allen is what boosts that grade as well, because he's familiar with what Ron Rivera wants to do. I'm going to get away from the players a little bit and talk about the coaches. Ron Rivera, obviously coming in, Gruden wasn't all in on Dwayne Haskins. That's been reported widely by everybody. So Dwayne has more of a chance because this is a clean slate and the opportunity to win the job, and not only win the job, but also prove to the new coaching staff that I'm the guy to take over. With that being said, on the other side of the ball, Tim made mention of Chase coming in and changing and being one of those Von Miller-ish or a guy like I played with DeMarcus Ware, game-changing type players. Obviously, that's there. This defense is really good. By the way, there's a lot of players that are starting to come into their prime and understand what it takes to be great players in the NFL. And Jack Del Rio, the coaching experience on this staff, along with the guys that are there, they'll get better. They'll understand how to be pros based on these coaches that's been brought in. And I'm looking forward to seeing how Ron Rivera obviously overall runs everything, and how Jack Del Rio on the defensive side of the football gets things progressing and going forward to where they need to go. And Scott Turner on the other side. So I'm very intrigued with the Redskins. I don't have a prediction of how the season is going to go, but I think these offseason moves is a step in the right direction. Aside from everything we've talked about, the Redskins having no identity in a number of seasons.
Yeah, listen, I think Marcus brings up a great point about the coaching staff and the culture, you know, and I think Ron Rivera and the difference that he can make there in terms of having players kind of develop a trust with the coaching staff, change the culture there, feel like everybody is at least headed in the right direction. I think it's wise to bring that up, because it just seems like there's been so much distrust between players and other people in that organization. Trent Williams' example is probably the best one you can look to. And so when you talk about changing in the offseason, changing a head coach that can change the culture is about as big of a change as you can possibly make.
Yeah.
One of the big areas of address on that roster remains that offensive line. We'll keep an eye on that as well. Tomorrow, we will continue our NFC offseason grades with the NFC North. Did the Lions, Bears, and Vikings do enough this offseason to take the number one spot away from the Packers? Tune in tomorrow to find out. And on this Memorial Day, we pay tribute to our fallen military heroes and their ultimate sacrifice. This includes former Arizona Cardinals safety Pat Tillman, who became an Army Ranger in the aftermath of the September 11th attacks and died in 2004 while serving his country in the war on terrorism. Time now for drawing conclusions as we put a bow on any topic in the show and draw a realistic conclusion to the topic. Jeff, you're up first. Let's see those drawing skills.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and give it to him, whatever he wants. The blank check for Patrick Mahomes. I mean, whenever this deal gets done, we're going to be baffled by it, I'm sure. It's going to be more a matter of how many years, though, not how much money, because the Chiefs should just hand it over to Patrick Mahomes and say, you fill in whatever you want there.
All right, strong start there. Marcus, you're up.
Daniel Jones has eye-popping numbers.
Ooh.
With eyeballs down there. And listen, they just almost killed what I thought was going to be a great cap to the show by saying Daniel Jones doesn't have any receivers in New York. And then I thought about it. He gets Evan Ingram back, and Saquon Barkley is going to turn into more of a receiver. Newsflash, Joe Judge, use him in the passing game. But anyway, that's my prediction. I'm sticking to it.
Man, not a bad call. I would have liked to have seen a little more artwork out of Marcus. I know he's a well-rounded Renaissance man. I would have expected a little more artistic ability there. It's challenging. And so I'll make up for Marcus. I hope you all can see this right here, okay? Just in case you don't know, yes, that is a GOAT with sunglasses and a number 12 on it. Because you know why? Tom Brady is the GOAT. Not because just, you know, what he's done throughout his football career. But let's be honest. He played golf on national television. He was like ready to shoot about 111 for the round. He's shanking his drive. He's duffing his chips.
Yes.
But you know what? All we're going to remember is him holing out on number 7, just spinning that ball back into the cup. I mean, that's all we're, he won. He lost, but he won. Like, I mean, honestly, the GOAT can do that.
Tim, I don't care if you go out and shoot 120. That's what keeps us coming back to golf. Everybody that was making fun of him, it was unbelievable that he made that shot in that moment. Like, unbelievable.
All right, pretty good.
Can you guys get on the phone, call each other after the show over and talk about how great Tom Brady is? Me and Phil trying to go somewhere after the show over with.
Thanks. Here's mine, Adam Schefter, Deck Deal Don, 44148.